And the Bible says that he was beyond description, more wonderful than words could describe. That's the God we serve. And I love him so much. I'm so grateful for all of you being here this morning. Several years ago, we had the privilege of having Dr. Delon Rantz and Valerie, his wife, come just to do a short window presentation. And when that happened, it was just, I had one of those moments where it was like, oh no. I'm sitting back there and I'm like, what in the world did I do? Why did I just have this man for a window? After I heard him speak, I was like, now I have to speak. It's like the only survivor of the Jonestown flood and Noah's in the audience, right? And this man is tremendous and greatly gifted of the Lord. Going to come and be our guest speaker today. Just a little tongue twister. How many of you know we have had here Delon Rantz and we've had LaDawn Rantz? That's their oldest daughter, and she was going as a missionary, and we had her come. And then Brandon and Shayla Cox, that's their next daughter. So it's an entire family that has blessed the kingdom of God and that we've been privileged to join together with and just support the work that they've been doing. Dr. Rantz is now currently working in several capacities, but especially at our Assemblies of God Theological Seminary in Springfield, Missouri. And just that's a marvelous ministry, training pastors and taking them deeper into the things of God. And so I'm just so privileged to have them here. There's a short video that is going to introduce them and their family, and then Valerie's going to come talk a little bit more about that, and then Dr. Rantz is going to come. But right now, would you just give a warm Trinity welcome to the Rantz family?
Spend in truth. Good morning. It is great to be here with you this morning. And first of all, I just want to thank you because you have been part of the Rance team for many, many years. You have supported us faithfully, and you have prayed for us. And we could not do what we do without that prayer support and financial support. So we want to thank you for that. In the back, we'd love for each of you to come back by and say hi to us. We have several things that we can give you. One is this letter that just tells you a little bit more about us. And we have two different sizes of prayer cards that we want each and every one of you to take. One is a small one that my husband likes because he can put it in his pocket. But the big one is what I wanted. And the reason why I wanted the big one is because you can see my family in the back. Do you know that the Lord answers prayer? He does, doesn't he? You know, 6 years ago when we were here itinerating last time, I was asking all the churches in the Northern California, Nevada district to pray one prayer. And that prayer was that I would become a grandmother. And so I asked all of you to pray, and the Lord answered prayer. First of all, my son Jarrell got married, and he married a beautiful girl named Natalie, and they gave me two grandsons right now. They live in Seattle, Washington. Then my youngest daughter, Shayla Cox, got married to Brandon, and they produced our middle grandson, who's playing in your nursery back in the back. And so we got to have a whole week of grandma and grandpa time. It was wonderful. And so they are here in Las Vegas, and they work with Free Internationals. They're U.S. missionaries. Then the one that I had asked the most prayer for was for LaDawn, my oldest. She finally got married in July.
Yeah.
We were real excited. So your prayers, I thought I was going to have to itinerate and say, you guys have to still pray. But no, that she got married. So we're just waiting for that grandchild to come. But, you know, I'm giving them some time. But they're living in Springfield, Missouri. And so what I would like for you, my prayer for this time, for all of you to really pray for, is to pray for LaDawn. She was diagnosed with narcolepsy and had to leave the field because of that. And so she is now a teacher in Springfield, Missouri, and her and her husband live there. But I know that God is not finished with her, and I know that God has got a plan for both her and her husband. And so would you pray that God would heal them, and also pray for all of our other children for their protection, and pray for more grandchildren, because I want a lot. So God bless you all.
Thanks. You can take that with you. We really do appreciate your prayers. Valerie and I spend one out of every 2 days traveling around the world, mobilizing the church, the missions, and training missionaries, which includes the work we do with the seminary. We have 75 doctoral students that serve as missionaries on all the continents of the world, simply coming together to listen to God, listen to one another, and see how we can be more strategic in reaching the world for Jesus Christ. Because missions is really pretty simple, isn't it? Missions is simply about populating heaven with people that worship God. How many have been worshiping Jesus this morning? Isn't it a joy to go into the presence of God and worship Him? We have the amazing, amazing privilege to go into the presence of God and worship the only one that is worthy of worship. And our job as followers and worshipers of Jesus is to populate heaven with more worshipers. Not everybody's called to be a missionary in the technical sense of going across the ocean, learning another language, embedding themselves with a people group. But all of us are a part of God's missionary people. Every single one of us are a part of the family of God, and the family of God is a missionary people. And God desires worshipers from every people group on this planet. He desires worshipers from every language on this planet. The shirt I'm wearing today is intentional. It's a batik from Indonesia. Indonesia is a country that is in desperate need of the gospel. This represents 722 separate languages that have never had access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. 722 languages, 160 plus million people who have never heard an adequate witness of how to worship Jesus. So we are called to take the good news to all those people because our God, He delights in diversity. He delights in multiple languages. Because if you go to the very end of the story in Revelation 7, 9, we discover that before the throne, there are representatives from every people group, every tribe, every family, and every language in heaven and on earth, worshiping the Lamb, worshiping him together in this amazing chorus. So we're called to reach them, and we're promised to reach them. But how many of you have ever had to learn a second language? There's plenty of languages in Vegas, isn't there? And languages, they're not a curse because we know that God delights in those languages because they're going to be worshiping him. But sometimes it seems like a curse when you're learning that language. You know, you can have a PhD and sound like you haven't graduated from kindergarten yet. It's a struggle. It's a humbling experience to have to learn a new language. I'm a missionary kid, so I grew up in Latin America. We went to the field when I was 11 years old, and they sent my parents off to language school so they could learn the language, and they sent me to the streets to play soccer to learn how to play, learn to speak the language as well. And so, that, you know, all my friends that were playing soccer, every time the ball, we were in Costa Rica, and so on the outsides of the road, there were these culverts that would be filled with rainwater when it rained, but it also get filled with, you know, the other stuff that goes through those things. And every time the ball would go in that gutter, and then you'd do a header, you know, you got a face print, and they would say this word. It was a good word, kind of come right from the gut. Ugh. So I began to use that word. It became my favorite word. I used it everywhere. If you didn't score the goal, oh, that was the word. I used it everywhere. One day, my mom comes up to me and says, Dylan, that word that you're using all the time, what does that mean? I said, I have no idea. It's simply the word you use when things go wrong. She said, we better look it up. And she sounded it out, looked it up in the book, and all of a sudden, all the blush rushed out of her face. She said, Dylan, you'll never use that word again. That made me curious. But what I discovered is that I was been swearing. The missionary kid had been using foul languages up and down the street and everywhere I was going because that was the word that I learned. It's a humbling experience. One of my colleagues from Latin America, and a missionary from Argentina that was sent from Argentina to Nepal, he was recently arrived. He was learning English. He was learning Nepali. He was really struggling with languages. And the pastor came to him and said, you know, we have a member of our church that has a neighbor that's demon-possessed, and they want a pastor to come and cast out the demon. Would you go for us? You're an Argentine. You're used to casting out demons. And so Tito said, yeah, I'll go, and he went. But he was faced with an experience that he was not accustomed to, because to speak to the person that was demon-possessed, he had to speak in Spanish to his wife, who translated from English and from Spanish into English, and she spoke it to a Nepali translator that translated from English into Nepali, who spoke to the lady. And it was getting very complicated to going down the chain and then coming back up the chain. And all of a sudden, the one began to manifest, and he was gripped by fear. He's thinking, oh, I've only been in the country a few months, and this lady's going to die, and they're going to kick me out of the country, and what am I going to do? I can't even speak to her. But then the Holy Spirit reminded him that he could speak directly to the demon. And in the name of Jesus, he cast out that demon. Because you know, we have power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Nothing can hold back the power that we have in the resurrection. She was totally freed and come into her right mind. But afterwards, the Nepali translator asked his wife, so do all demons speak Spanish? Well, we know that Spanish is the heavenly language, right? But apparently it's spoken in other places too. No, it's not the language, it's the authority. But languages can be very frustrating and humbling. And I would like you to open your Bibles, open the text to Genesis chapter 11. I want to look at a rather strange passage for missions, but Genesis 11 verses 1 through 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As the people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Father, add your blessing to the word. And as we look at your word, let it come alive. Let it be that sharp two-edged sword that pierces our hearts and minds and transforms us into global Christians that are passionate to see every person come to worship you. We glorify your name, Lord, because only you are worthy. There is no one other than you that is worthy. You are the Lord. That is your name. And you share your glory with no one. You are worthy. Amen. Amen. So what is happening in this Genesis 11 passage? Now, I have to warn you, I speak rather fast, and I'm going to try to cover the whole book in one 15-minute setting. So I'm going to go from Genesis to Revelation in 15 minutes. You ready to go? Yeah? We can do this, right? I already hit Revelation, but now let's back up to the beginning of the story in Genesis. In Genesis, God creates the heavens and the earth, and it's good, and he creates humankind. And he creates them to steward the creation. In the text that we just read, the population's already grown. They have they wanted to make a name for themselves. In the text, the problem was that they wanted to make a name for themselves, which is the same thing that happens in the earlier part of Genesis when Adam and Eve choose to be the masters of their own destinies. They want to control their own destinies, so they take, and they're disobedient, and they fall into sin. But it's the same thing happening again in chapter 11 because they were trying to create a name for themselves so that they could be in control of their own destinies. They wanted power. They wanted control. Does that sound familiar? Is there anything like that happening in our era? Wanting control, being in charge. But there's another secondary story in Genesis 11, and that is where we have to go back to the chapter 1. Because when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden, he gave them a mandate. He gave them a commission. He said in Genesis 1:28, what? Be fruitful and multiply and scatter over the earth and subdue it. Be fruitful and multiply and scatter over the earth. Because God wants us to populate heaven with worshipers. And in Genesis, it's biological, it's physical. They are physically going to reproduce so that there are more worshipers of God. And they're to scatter over the earth. But Adam falls. So then God wipes out the entire population, except for one family. And when Noah comes out of the ark, God gives him the same commission. Be fruitful and multiply and scatter over the earth and subdue it. And yet, again, we find that they refuse to be obedient. And in Genesis chapter 10, we find that there are nations all over the earth, and God delights in those nations. But how did they get there? Chapter 11. Chapter 11 tells us that they wanted to make a name for themselves, and they did not want to scatter. They did not want to be obedient to the commission to be fruitful and multiply and scatter over the earth. They resisted that. They wanted to use technology to prevent that. You see, if they had been obedient, the languages would have happened naturally. Languages are not a curse. Languages are a gift from God because he delights in diversity. Look around a room. God delights in diversity. He wants to be worshipped by all kinds of people in all kinds of places. But they refused. And so God came down and helped along the process. And he confused their languages. And then the very next chapter, chapter 12 of Genesis, he calls a family. He calls Abraham, and he says, you are going to be a blessing. You're going to bless all the nations of the earth. The purpose of calling of Abraham and the people of Israel was so that they would be a blessing to all the peoples and all the languages of the earth. And as we continue then through the Old Testament, we jump over to Exodus. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6 says that the people of Israel were called to be a holy people, a separate people, a kingdom of priests. And what do priests do? They are the bridges between the peoples of the earth and God. And he gives them the law to be enabled and to do that. He empowers the people of Israel through the law. He gave them the law so that they could live their lives as a unique and discrete people. But then the law came to the people of Israel, a Tower of Babel. They thought that they were the prized possession, so that they were something special, and that they were the only ones that were deserving of God's grace. They were the only ones deserving of worshiping God, and they refused to be obedient to God, to proclaim His name among the nations. And so the psalmists remind them, this God that you serve is a God for all peoples, for all the nations. He is the Lord over all peoples. And the prophets, they call them back and say, come back, Israel, come back to obedience, come back so that you will be a light to the nations, so that you proclaim His goodness and His mercy to all the generations and all the peoples. But Israel fails to be God's missionary people. So God sends His one and only Son, who comes down to this earth. He became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and He learned our languages. Probably not just one. He probably knew Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, and maybe even some Latin. He learned a lot of languages so that He could show us the way. And through His life, and then His death on the cross, His resurrection from the grave, He now creates access for all of us to go and worship the Father. That we now have access. The veil was ripped from the top to the bottom so that we could have access. All the peoples of the earth could have access to the gospel and to the praise of God our Father. It is through Jesus that we have access to worship. And then, after He's resurrected, the disciples think He's going to establish His kingdom on earth, and He disappears into the clouds. But before He goes, He gives another mandate, doesn't He? He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Does that not sound like Genesis? Now, instead of being reproducing worshipers through biological means, now we reproduce worshipers through spiritual means by communicating the gospel to them. We're to make disciples of Jesus Christ of all the nations of the world, and He empowers us to do that. Because He says, you know what, you can't do this on your own. Go back to Jerusalem and wait. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the Counselor. And He's going to come on you and empower you so that you can be My witnesses. Isn't that what Acts 1:8 says? You will be My witnesses when the power comes on you in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so they do. And they wait. And in Acts 2, the Spirit comes down on the people of God. God's missionary people. And what happens? They all spoke English. Huh? No. What happens? The Spirit comes down, and all of a sudden, they begin to speak in all kinds of languages, because our God delights in those languages. And the people from all the nations surrounding heard the glories of God in their languages. See, there's a parallel. God is so intentional in the text. So like in the Old Testament, God gave the law to the people of Israel to empower them to be a discreet, missionary, priestly people. In the New Testament, the Spirit descends upon the people of God to empower them to be a missionary people. What were the signs when the law was given? There was smoke, there was earthquake, there was fire. What happened on the day of Pentecost? There was smoke, there was earthquake, there was fire. There was the moving of the Spirit to empower the people of God, God's missionary people, us, to be a holy people, a people of service who give witness to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. Now, I love it that the fact that when the Spirit comes upon us, we experience amazing blessing. Just like God's calling of Abraham was an amazing blessing that come on him, but it was for the rest of the nations. When we are baptized in the Spirit, it's an amazing blessing for us, but it's a blessing for us to bless others. Sometimes in Pentecostal circles, tongue speech becomes a Tower of Babel, a source of pride, a source of, we can do this on our own. But it's totally the opposite, isn't it, in the text? The text tells us when we speak in tongues, we're admitting that we can't do this. We're admitting that we cannot give witness to the nations. We admit that we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon us to be able to witness to Jesus. Because in and of ourselves, we can't do it. But when the Spirit comes on us, we can give witness. And another thing that we do when we speak in tongues is that we declare that God, we're just reminding everyone that God desires worshipers in every language on this planet. God desires worshipers from the 722 languages of Indonesia. God deserves worshipers from the languages of Brazil. God deserves worshipers from the languages of the Middle East. God deserves the worship of the languages of India. He deserves to be worshipped. And he's empowered us. Peter tells us, once you were not a people. You weren't deserving. But now you are the people of God. We are God's missionary people. To do what? To declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his amazing light. We get to share the gospel with those who have never heard. And the Spirit comes upon us to make that happen. So what happens when we surrender to his Spirit? Now, by the way, that's not an easy thing, right? We don't like giving up the use of our tongue. At least I don't. I like having control of my tongue. But when we surrender to the Spirit, we surrender even our tongues to the Spirit. And when we surrender, he gets the glory. So that's how I'd like to conclude this morning. Just two stories. The first is a nanny in the western side of the capital city of San Salvador, Santa Tecla. Nannies in El Salvador have a rough job. It's 24/7 work, very little pay. And she was coming up on her weekend off, and so she said goodbye to the two kids that she took care of. And on her way home, she remembered that there was an all-night prayer meeting in her local church. So she went to the all-night prayer meeting. In the middle of that all-night prayer meeting, the Lord spoke to her. Aren't you glad we have a God that still speaks? The Lord spoke to her and said, you need to go back to your place of employment and take the kids to the park. And so she went back to, she was obedient, she went back to her place of employment. The unbelieving parents thought it was rather strange that this woman would come on her day off to take care of the children, but they were happy to leave them in her charge because they had jobs to go to. So they went to work. She got the kids up, gave them their baths, gave them their breakfast. Then she went to the neighbor nanny and said, you know, last night God spoke to me in prayer and said that we should take our kids to the park. Why don't you get your kids together and we'll make a day of it and we'll take the kids to the park. But the neighbor nanny said, no, I'm not going to listen to you. You're one of those crazy Pentecostals listening to voices and all that kind of stuff. No, I refuse to go. So before she left the house, the nanny went into the bedroom of the owners. And she knew that they had a small box about this side that was filled with their money, their important papers, and their jewelry. She grabbed that box and she put it underneath her arm. And she took the two kids to the park. It was a beautiful Saturday morning. I had gone very early in the morning to drop my boss off at the airport and had come home and taken a nap, and I was getting up from my nap. And at 11:35 in the morning, I was shaving in front of the mirror, and our four-story concrete apartment complex began to vertically leap by 3 inches. A 7.9 earthquake, and an entire mountainside collapsed and landslide over that neighborhood where the nanny worked. And in just those few seconds, 500 people were buried alive and died. In the confusion after the earthquake, it took a while for the nanny and the two children to get back to where the house had once been. And by that time, the parents had come back from their jobs. The mom and dad were in the rubble, scratching at the earth with their fingernails. And the mom was saying, oh God, where are my children? And then the neighbors that were helping dig through the side, look, turn around, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. And they had this amazing group hug. And then the nanny walked up to those unbelieving parents and said to them, last night God spoke to me in prayer. And he told me to take the kids to the park. And he told me to take this too. This belongs to you. And she returned the box. You see, when we listen to the voice of the Spirit and we're obedient to that voice, he will get the glory. I don't even know the nanny's name, but when you and I simply listen to the voice of Jesus and we say, yes, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And when we do that, he will get the glory. His name will be glorified, and the nations will know that our God is the only living God. But we have to surrender our towers of Babel. We have to surrender those things that we think will keep us on the right path. We have to surrender to Jesus. And I finally would like to conclude with one church that said yes to the voice of the Spirit. It has to do with our daughter, and we keep using this video because we just love the fact how God used this event to challenge a church to be obedient. So if they could help me out and up in the booth, and just, it's a 4-minute video. Yeah, you're going to need a little sound. Here we go. Whoa. There we go. I know it was a little difficult to hear, but from the perspective of the world, the Homeless Church of San Francisco has no resources. They don't have jobs, they don't have houses, they don't have any resources, but they are worshipers of Jesus. and they are members of God's missionary people. And so when my daughter went there, they got enthused, and they began to collect cans and pray for her. And because they collected so many cans, they're now not only supporting my daughter the entire time she was on the mission field, but now they support, the last I heard, it was 8 missionary families at $50 a month. Because God's economy is not our economy. In God's economy, they have power in the name of Jesus. And they simply have to do what God asks them to do. And when they do that, then my daughter can hug children on the streets of Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. What is God asking us to do? Well, prayer is really important to us. We're sustained by your prayers time and time again. So they took prayer cards. A couple of weeks after that, my daughter was at another church in downtown San Francisco, and as she was approaching the BART station, the train station, a whole bunch of homeless people came out from under the train station, and it really freaked the pastor's wife out, because what was going on here, until they heard, "It's LaDawn, it's LaDawn, it's our missionary, it's our missionary." And they said, "LaDawn, you need to give us more prayer cards, because we passed them out to all of our homeless friends, and we're all praying for you." I know that my daughter was sustained in the midst of evil, because somebody was praying. So what is God asking us to do this morning? We are all members of God's missionary people. We all get to participate and populate heaven with worshipers. Lord Jesus, I thank you for Trinity. I thank you for the amazing way they've impacted the world through their obedience. We're simply reminding them that we are your people. We are your missionary people. And that as your missionary people, we populate heaven as you enable us by your Spirit. So I would ask blessings upon Trinity, that you would continue to empower them to be the missionary people that they are by definition, and that they would each, every single member, would find those things that you would have them to do to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to every person, every people, and every language on this planet. We pray it in the strong and beautiful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Ask our ushers to come again. And I just want to help the Rances do what they do. And they sent out a newsletter this week that I read that 85 times this past year they jumped on a plane. And that those tickets cost some money. And so let's just join together today and be a blessing to them and keep them doing what they're doing. Father, thank you for DeLon and Valerie and LaDawn and her new husband. And as Valerie asked us earlier, Lord, we just want to pray for LaDawn. What a precious young lady that we've all had the privilege to pray for and support. And her heart's desire came true and she got married. I remember when she was at Ashley and Sean's wedding, and I could just the longing in her heart, I could see that there was a desire inside of her heart to have a husband. And you have granted that desire. And now they desire children, Lord. And we just pray that you would bless them and heal their bodies and open her womb and bless this family, Lord. Thank you for all of their children. Thank you, Lord, for their grandchildren. God, we pray that you will bless them and keep them. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. Use them in powerful ways. Thank you for Brandon and Shayla here in Las Vegas that are working with sex trafficking and trying to tackle that humongous issue here in our city and also around the United States. And we pray your rich blessings in their lives. We pray, Lord, that you would move mightily and intervene and lead and guide and instruct them in the way they should go. We give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise today. Bless these gifts in Jesus' name.